The essence of the light is to guide our walk. There can be problems outside us. There must not be problem within. Don't protect corruption. Don't edge corruption. Don't face corruption. Expose it. Let light shine on it.
The words that I speak unto you are spirit and life, meant to make you grow. The light of God shines in every heart that desires to know God in His true nature. You are welcome to this divine feast at the table of the Lord as we journey from one level of faith to another by the revelation of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Through His minister, Reverend Busuyi Olabode, we believe you'll be richly blessed.
So we began to look at this thing called mystery of faith because it's a must that you must hold this mystery. You must be a holder. Every an average believer, the least place that you must be found. That's the least place. The least place where you must be found is to be found holding the mystery of faith in a pure conscience. And that is the least place that all of God's children could be found or that should be found. If at the end of the day you are pressed and pressed and pressed, you must not press later than this place. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. So it's good to understand the mystery of faith. It's good to understand faith. Faith is not a new teaching to the body. You know, faith teaching has come heavily in the body, but you see, the church did not really stay on this path. We quickly change or settled faith in its ability to receive natural things, to believe God for our life, and it has not changed the status from what we found in the heroes of faith. The hall of faith that you find in Hebrews 11, they obtain reports or they made some things to happen, but they wouldn't get the blessing. There's something much more that faith should do or could do that we didn't see these people coming into. Praise God. And all this, all of them, as many as they are, they obtain a good report. I know, true faith. But there's something much more, which is the promise which God has promised us, which is eternal life. Amen? Praise God. So if we come to issue of faith in the New Testament and we cannot talk about pursuit of life, then it's not the faith that Jesus has authored. You know, Jesus is called the author and the finisher of our faith. It means that, you know, what Jesus authored never existed before Jesus came. That means if he authored it, it never existed. So if you see any faith pattern that existed for Jesus came, and you live by it, and that is your end of faith, actually, you are of all men most miserable. Jesus authored and finished a faith, which is now called our faith. That is a faith. That faith is a mystery that must be understood. Hallelujah. And so that's been an effort. And we say that faith is hanging on the Messiah. Jesus as the Messiah. That was the bane of last Wednesday teaching. We read scriptures from, let's read one of them today. Amen. Praise God. We trust the Lord to help us today to get the best from this moment of teaching. We trust heaven to help us. Please, Lord, help us today. Help us. Lord, help us. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, let me read the one again in chapter. Let me read chapter 4, part in verse 25. The woman said unto him, I know that Messiah cometh. So, which is called Christ. So we saw that Christ is called Messiah. Messiah, which is also called Savior, is Savior. So the mission is to them the commission. The mission is the commission. Christ comes, Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. And when he's come, he will tell us all things. Though they didn't have the correct perspective of what is all things, but they know in the law, it was said that it would teach them, it would tell them all things. And anyone who would not hear these things actually will be cut off. It won't be reckoned as God's people. Praise God. Amen. And we saw that the mission of Messiah is to save the people from sin. So sin is the issue. You see, we can talk about prosperity, talk about enlargement, talk about victory, talk about all of them. The bane behind all of them is sin. Amen. Praise the Lord. The effect of sin is what we call poverty. So if you're going to treat the symptom and you don't treat the causal agent, I don't know no medical science will do that. They can give you a relief for a moment to take care of you before the proper treatment. Is that not right? Praise God. So they give you balm to rub it on the face, to do all of that. They are just doing that to ease. They give you some pain relievers. It's to ease the pain until they can find the root cause of the problem. Once the root cause of the problem is dealt with, its symptom just naturally what? Disappear. If they ask you, you get to the hospital and said, I feel feverish, or I have malaria. They'll say, how do you know you have malaria? Because malaria is a kind of a parasite. Is that right? It's not feeling feverish that is malaria. Malaria is a kind of parasite. Someone say, I have malaria. I wonder. Because you have headache and you have body pain and all of that. But there are all kinds of things that can infect you that can result in that feeling, which is not malaria. But to a layman, anything that causes you to have a high temperature is malaria. So if you use the drug used for malaria to treat all of such feeling, you won't get the result. Because the causal agent is not the same, though the symptoms look the same. Are we right together, please? So the ones who cut it from the root, which is sin, sin is the issue. The sin may be of different nature, different kinds, but all of them is called sin. It's not that we can't walk in faith, it's sin. You can't believe God, it's sin. You can't pray, it's sin. You can't stand and confess, it's sin. Anything, amen. Whatever cannot make you do righteousness, it's sin. All unrighteousness is sin. Amen. So it's not a matter of trying to overflow sin. And No, it's sin. The Messiah, when it comes, he will deal with sin. And when he deals with sin, your grade, your nature improves. Your nature appreciates. Once this sin is dealt with, your grade, your nature. So it's not that he will deal with it first and starts. No, in dealing with it, it's upgrading you. That's why you are changing. Come on, say, so we are changing. And that's change. You change from glory to glory. You change. It talks about, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believe it. He's like, in him is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. So when there's revelation of righteousness, sin is being dealt with. And your nature is being upgraded. Do you get it now? So we must never get to the point when we just get to, I don't want to be sin conscious. It's not sin conscious. It's dealing with sin by righteousness. One of the advice that Daniel gave to the king, after he gave him the interpretation of the dream, I said, break thy sin by righteousness. Maybe that will lengthen thy days. So, use righteousness now to break that flow of sin. See, judgment is coming because of sin, but break it by righteousness. Maybe that can quickly intervene. But amazingly speaking, you see, thank you. Wherefore, King, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee. That was Daniel talking. Now break up thy sins by what? And thy iniquities by showing mercy to the poor. If it may be a lengthening of thy what? Of thy transcurity. But you couldn't get into that. The judgment came upon that throne. Amen. Praise God. So today, by God's grace, we're going to just continue on that same place. And, Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah. Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is the Christ. Now, it's not just grammatical language. It's revelation of a personality with a mission on the earth. We read that place in chapter 4. Let's read it again. It said the Messiah coming. So it's called Messiah. In chapter 1, verse 41, he first founded his own brother, Simon, and said unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted, the Christ. So Christ is the Messiah. That's the focus, Messiah. And we saw it will save his people from sin. But the point today is we want to see that Messiah as the Son of God. You know, we use a lot of things. We just read them in scriptures. Jesus is the Son of God. He is the Son of God. It doesn't really make so much meaning to us because we don't know what we are saying. Because we met that lingua in church. Is that not true? Right? You met it in church. You met it with your parents. So if somebody says, just not Son of God, they're going to wonder, what? It looks strange. But it's not just a lingua you are meeting. You are meeting a reality, a revelation that never existed. That came into being because there's need for the Messiah to show up. What the Messiah will do by dealing with sin, no man can do it. No mere man can do it if it's not the Son of God. I went in the house, please. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. It was not difficult for people to believe that he's the prophet. I think you know what I'm saying. It's not so easy because of the measure of grace into the miraculous that he has. Jews are a nation that God chose to raise prophets. So, Jews are not strange with prophets. Are we right? So when you say a Jewish man say that's a prophet, then there are so many of them. It's what God has raised among them. So they move from just being a seer. There was a time what they knew was a seer, right? And in that season, the season of Samuel and the rest of that, they move into discerning the prophet. In those days, a seer is a person who is able to see into the heart of God, to see into the future. Are we right? Which is majorly through the gifts of the Spirit. And so they reckon with the past of them as seer. Someone like Samuel was a very renowned seer. But in his days, the thing moved a little bit beyond just seeing into being able to bring thoughts concerning kingdom. Because for a long time, you know, from the days of the law of Moses was merely known as a prophet. But after Moses, you knew the history that Israel fell into declension and they lost that very place. They came into the days of Judges, where they just had leaders who are military, but in the military they carry spirit who can deliver them from their enemies. Hallelujah. They didn't know what it takes to have a kingdom. Are we in the house together, please? So they just have their tribes scattered and trying to survive. So the enemy comes to them, against them in time, overrun them, break into their nation, spoil them, take away whatever they have there, and they are struggling to see how to survive as nations, as tribes. But in the midst of that, God stepped in through Samuel. So the day of the judges ended, and God was going to restore that kingdom. Because in the days of Samuel, they now desire a king. God was trying to move them into his own kingdom structure. And so, it means that the prophet is much more about bringing God's intention concerning his kingdom. And we saw that much in the days of Samuel. Samuel met Saul and told him, God has taken away the kingdom from you. He has given to another one that's better than you. So he was instructing the next reign of God. Yeah, about kingdom. It's about kingdom. God has torn your kingdom. He has torn it from your hands. He has given to another one who is better than you. It's because God's intention is about kingdom. It's more than a national survival system. Trying to survive as a people and just go on the earth and have your money. No. God wants kingdom to be the structure of his governance. Hallelujah. So it was not difficult for them to see Jesus as prophet. Once they just saw him, they saw him with the teachings. They saw him with the miraculous, which is the confirmation of the teachings. No. He's a prophet. But what they don't know is that Jesus is more than a prophet. And that is generally across the whole world and across all religion. They accepted that somebody came on the earth here among the Jews called Jesus. They accept that. Nobody denies that. And who carries an unusual anointing. And some of them who are claiming accepting is because they can't deny it. And they just have to accept that reality. Nobody, no sect on earth here, no religion on earth here, invalidate Jesus' sanctity or Jesus' holiness. But some of them, instead of qualifying him, over-qualifying him in some things, you know, talking about Jesus Christ, when he was a child, was giving life to birds. He gave life to a dead bird. He gave life. That's not Jesus. Amen. It's somebody just trying to qualify Jesus somewhere there to get a plus with the Jews or with Christians. So that thing you talk about does not have portion in the essence of Jesus' sonship. We will see it very soon. Praise God. So it's not just a man who is an earthly who just came to do some miracles and, you know, who just got anointed. There's a clear intention in God's heart why God sent him. Clear intention that has been spoken of for so many years by the mouth of the prophets. So it's not just one gra show up somewhere. It's a well-calculated program of God in the midst of man. Hallelujah. And God supported it with so much of prophetic utterances. Went before him, describing the manner and the nature of what he's going to do on the earth. But it's amazing that very, very core part of Christian faith, that the church does not even know it much. Sonship, the just Son of God. When we're younger, it is Jesus, the Son of David. Yes, Oma Maria, you know. We use that word, Yes, Oma Loro, just like God sent his Son to the earth to save us. We don't know the essence of that thing called sonship. Everything in the Christian faith is standing upon that rock, that thing called sonship. That's where faith is staying. That's where the mystery of faith is staying. It's in his sonship. So he's the Messiah, right? It's Christ, the Messiah. But it's amazing that he is not just the Messiah. That Messiah is the Son of the living God. Peter said, Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. Thou art the Messiah. And that Messiah is the Son. He got it plus, plus, plus. You know, when you have an exam that they're going to score you by mark, you just put plus, plus, plus. It means excellent, excellent. He got it right. So I say, wow, wow. What you got? This is not a mere statement. This is clear revelation of the Father. It's Father's intercession. This small thing you see here, that small statement there, Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said, flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you. It's my Father who is in heaven. And upon this rock, I will build my church. So the church is built on Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. What do I call it? Jesus, the Messiah, or Jesus, the Savior, the Son of God. It is this Jesus who is the Savior of the world, and he is the Son of God. Hallelujah. That looks so simple. It has all been church. Everything they will do in your life is based on this. Everything they will do in church is based on this. So upon this rock, I will build my church. When I build by this, the gates of hell, the lies of hell can't stand against it. I get so surprised. One of these days, I was looking at the CRK curriculum in schools. And I felt like crying. CRK curriculum. In fact, it's wicked than religion. It's wicked than religion. What you find there are just moral instructions, moral laws, moral laws, moral instructions, how to live good life in society, how to live good life in family. In fact, a good civic book is better than CRS curriculum. My heart was, oh my God. When I heard they were going to do a review of the curriculum, there was a man, a professor in Nigeria who was writing about all of this, you know, at the time in Nigeria, whatever, they removed CRS and put it under another moral value, religious and moral value. The enemy of the church is so smart. But the church is undiscerning. So undiscerning. And they have done that even in the days of Goodluck Jonathan. So even if you have a Christian ruling in Nigeria, as long as he's blind, it doesn't make a difference. They have done that, and they didn't see anything, any problem in it. It was just at the point of implementation that some people just woke up. And they said, your brother did it now. We're not the one that did it. See the enemy. They know how to do their things. Amen. Praise God. I look at the whole content of the CRS. There's no place that has Jesus, the Son of God. Go and check it. So whatever you call CRS, actually, is just Bible information. It's not Christ. The bedrock of Christian faith is Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. Once that basic is not the body of revelation, you lose the power of God. You are as moral and as weak as nothing. That to be an atheist is better off. Once that is taken away, it means that that church will be confronted with the gate of hell, and the gate of all of hell will prevail against it. The gate of hell will prevail against it. Amen. The apostles and the early church leaders took time to put on ground the Gospels, the four Gospels, the book of Matthew, the book of Mark, Luke, and John. Especially the book of John. Those three books were books of account of Jesus' life on the earth. To let everyone who will believe Jesus to know that this was a man that was born by flesh, that was born of man. And as much at his birth, he was not a son of God. He was a child of man. Are we in the house, please? Those four gospels is not narrative. It is the footstool. It's footstool of our faith. That's why in the book of Hebrews, it says looking up to Jesus, not looking up to Christ. Looking unto Jesus, the author. So that man is the man called Jesus. There's only one mediator between man and God. The man is a man who is the man. Is a man who became the man. Because there was needed for a man who would do the job. Who would bridge between man and God. And there was found no man. So that one man, Jesus, become the man who is the mediator. Connecting man to God. There are not two. There's only one. There's one God. And only one mediator. Is the man. Come on, say the man. Are you here tonight? Come on, say the man. This is study hour, okay? The man, Christ Jesus. The job of the apostles were witnesses that they met one man called Jesus, who was born a Jewish boy, who had Jewish background, who had stories of his childhood among the Jews, who lived as a child, who lived as a mere man, as a mere child, like any other child. Only that he was born by God's design, by God's plan. Being born through a virgin is not, God just chose to use that passageway. He could have been born through an allot. So what made him holy is not being born through a virgin. They say Virgin Mary, Holy Mary. What made Jesus holy is not virgin birth. God chose that passageway by his wisdom. A virgin shall conceive and shall bring forth a son. He has spoken ahead of time through the prophets. Amen.
In any way, he has to be the firstborn. And God has to give signs. So that virgin birth was a sign. That's mystery. How will God bring forth a child without through a virgin? It's a mystery. So God has to put puzzles around it that will make man's mind to wonder, wow. It's a child. Shall bring forth the son and shall call his name Emmanuel, which is being interpreted God with us. And I like that. It's not God is with us. It's God with us. He put that there. It's God with us. So it's clear that that child will be God with us. Or that is our God. He will be the God of men. If not for prophetic writing, it will be difficult to believe the gospel. To be like a fantasy in the mind, you can't reason it. God of heaven? Yes, God said through prophets, said, is God with us? And because the prophet himself is not the one he's speaking about, you won't say he's trying to make himself. That's clear. And that's why Israel had that record of what is called holy prophets. Holy prophets. They know them. I went to the house this. So Isaiah is not one jagadika prophet. He's an holy prophet. Praise God. So God has put there the issue of sonship in the prophets. But he didn't call it straight son. Because sonship is already a language of whatever among the Jews. Sonship is adoption, where his child takes full responsibility of his father. You call it adoption. Are we in the house, please? So when he gets to the age of adoption, he takes full responsibility. So a child is trained, they bring it up to their child, and they train their child to take full responsibility. If it's the father's business, he takes full responsibility of the father's business, which is the son. So they had that. But God did not go beyond that in talking about that issue. Are you with me, please? But he has spoken it here and there. Like I said in the book of Psalm 110, the Lord said to my Lord, sit down. The Lord said to my Lord. It was the Lord who said to my Lord. And it was the king who was a Lord who was talking. So if the king will have a Lord, the Lord must be superior Lord. David was the king. Am I with you? Yeah, I said here and there, like I said in Psalm 32, I said, ye are gods, and ye are children of the Most High. But you shall die like man, because you have not taken to understanding. You will die as man, but you are the children of the Most High, telling that the Most High will raise children. Am I in the house with you? But the full concept couldn't be understood with the veil of the law. There's no way you want to understand those things. They are like mysteries. What is the prophet talking about? All the best of their scribes try to look into the prophet. It's not easy to identify it. They just got, pick some few things in the prophets. Like the issue of when Jesus was born and Herod said to the wise men, go and inquire for me where the Christ will be born. And they went to the Jews to go and inquire. And the Jews told him that Christ will be born in Judea, in the city of David. Amen. So they have those information. They have those basic things, but they can't correlate together and get the full picture. Am I with you? They don't even Bethlehem here, Frater. Thou too don't be little among the city of Judah, but out of Judah proceed in. So they know that Bethlehem, Ephrata, which is not the likely place that prophets have arisen. From there, there shall come the one who will rule his people. So for Peter to come with that revelation, he was not leaning on anything from the law. It was not because he saw a verse. It just, that thing just zoomed to his mind. That reality was zooming from the spirit to his mind. And just said, no, you have no contribution in this matter. You didn't contribute to this matter. It was an express revelation. It was an express revelation. So let's read John 20 and see what is the summary of the Gospels, the four Gospels. Amen. Are we together? Are we picking the thoughts? John 20. Let me read verse 30. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. That book is written in the book of John. But the book of John is representing the other books. Right? If you get to Luke, you will see Luke there affirming, you know, what is the reason for writing, chapter 1. For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us. Most surely believed, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were high witnesses and ministers of the word. It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the first, very first. Well, all things is things pertaining to all of this that the high witnesses were custodying. Amen. From the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. So it's about knowing certainty about the life of Jesus. The life of Jesus and the ministry of Jesus, which is about his childhood to he enter into his ministry to his death and terminate at resurrection. That's what they were all eyewitnesses of. Praise God. So in John 20, it says, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. It's talking about all the epistles, all the gospels. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is the Messiah, is the Savior, the Son of God. Can you see that statement? Affirming the essence of the gospel, essence of Jesus' life is to reveal that hidden identity that God has wrought in him over the years. God has wrought in him that he was not born the Messiah, but that this Jesus you saw, whose childhood life is that spanned from there to death and resurrection, that Jesus is a Jesus that has morphed from childhood to become something. He is the Messiah. So everything that was spoken about Jesus at his birth was what were all prophetic declaration. That boy couldn't have done that. If he had died there, he's in the king. It was prophetic, speaking about what it will be when God fully completes the program from birth to death. This Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. And that believing, you are going to stay inside this, you are going to resident your faith. You believe it. Now, you're going to rest in your faith in that reality so you can have life through his name. Because his name is the Messiah, the Son of God. What is his name? The Messiah, the Son of God. What is his name? The Christ, the Son of God. So, is the revelation of his name is the Christ, the Son of God. And that is who he is. That is who he is. He is the Christ. And everything about the faith he uttered is in that name. What did I say? Everything about the faith he uttered is in that name. So it is faith in his name. Through faith in his name. Now when Peter was answering after the healing of the man, and they get called beautiful, he said, no, this is not by our holiness. Okay, what are you talking about? It's not our holiness. It's not our works. It's the faith. This man, through faith in his name, has made this man. This is in his name. So what they were using is the faith in Jesus, the Son of God. So he said, Jesus, the Son of God. That is his name. How are we in the house, please? Hallelujah. So what made you birth again? What born you again is Jesus, the Son of God. You believe Jesus, the Son of God, not just Jesus. There are many Yeshua. You know that? The Jewish nation has many Yeshua. I even have one Yeshua in my house, but it's not the Son of God. It's Yeshua, the Son of Pussy. Amen. But this Yeshua. Amen. This Jesus is Son of God. It's not an appellation to complete name. It's the full revelation of the name. And you are going to believe in that name. So go back to that Acts we read. Said, faith through his name has made this man, you are seen old. Wow. The church is not seeing. I don't know why we're not. This thing does not make sense to the church. It's about just using the name to get something, to get one miracle done. Amen. This man whom you see and know, yet the faith which is by him had given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Let me see the next verse there. And now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which God before had shewed by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ, who is that Christ, the Son of God, should suffer, and so at soul, he had so fulfilled. So fulfilling those things is to make them believe. I went in the house this. Fulfilling those things, though they were spoken of him, he fulfilled them into details more than what a man's memory can do. So all those who followed him, the apostles, discovered that this Jesus has fulfilled these things. So beyond what Peter confessed, they came to discover it. That's why they were all eyewitnesses. Are we in the house, please? For Peter, he busted into it by revelation. But the other one saw it. They saw how it was fulfilled. Like that, everything fulfilled. Fulfilled to his bath. Fulfilled everywhere. Fulfilled to his clothing. Fulfilled. Even in his dying. When he asked no contribution, fulfilled. Hallelujah. There's no better book that can give you instructions about these things than those who were eyewitnesses. Once you take away the account of eyewitnesses, there's no validation about the matter anymore. So if any book, anywhere, any religion talk about Jesus, it's a lie. Why? There were no eyewitnesses. Lie and liars. How is someone that rose up 100 years after Jesus be talking about Jesus Christ? You don't know him. The few things you know about him is something. It's the flying talks here and there about those who are not even close to him in any way. Who by big maybe one journey, they journey to Jerusalem and heard about Jesus the Savior. They knew nothing about him. When they go to other nations, they will talk about him. They don't know him. These were account of eyewitnesses. And they laid down their life for what they saw. In any legal system, there's no higher evidence than an eyewitness. Any lawyer there? Give me a higher account than an eyewitness. Then when you have eyewitnesses, we're coming afresh to the power of God. Power, power. You can understand why they are the early churches were. Oh my God. They are not just in our world. Because they have access to realities that we don't even know it. And it's not issues of discussion among us anymore. So all these gospel things were written that you may believe. That's why the first place we start talking to an unbeliever is through the gospels. Amen. Gospel and little epistle. Much of gospel. That's why Christ died for our sins. Amen. Let's read 1 John chapter 5. 1 John But each time we're talking about we're going to faith, to hope, to love, it's like, what is this faith thing? The three that about the faith, hope, and what is this faith thing? When you do faith, what are you doing faith? When you do faith, you do hope, and you do charity. What? Amen! Hallelujah! So these are realities that are doing, that have done something. That you are doing. You are doing some realities. Which is not part of your life before. Your heart is interacting with some realities. So how many of you believe that Jesus is the Son of God here? You do believe? That Jesus came from, he came from God to man. And he gave his life for all. That he is the Son of God. And he's saying that in believing, you're going to come into the reality of the divine thought in that thing you're talking about. You might have life. Come on, say, I must have life. I would have life. I am believing his name that I might have life through his name. So the revelation of the name is to give life. That's why Paul was declaring his mandate for obedience of faith. Faith for his name. It's faith for his name. So his name is to get his name. What to get that name? Christ, the Son of God. You're going to be Christ. Not the Christ. Christ, a Son of God. His own is the Christ, the Son of God. But you obtain Christ, a Son of God. Because you are a Messiah also. You are in the house, please. You're going to, when you obtain his name, you're going to be a savior. They came to him and said, Jesus, we're trying, we just want this guy to be delivered from this devil. And your disciples have been trying so much, and they're just struggling, they can't do this. And just look at them and say, why? Of your little faith. How long do you think I'm going to stay with you here forever? These ones you are talking about, they're the one I will stay with you. I'm going away. They are your saviors. I am the savior. I'm making them savior. So why are you doubting them? They just knew that they were not doing it well. But he didn't want the eyes of the people to shift to him. He wanted their eyes to be on these saviors that will arise. Because upon Mount Zion shall be saviors. That shall be saviors upon Mount Zion. They will bring deliverance. They will bring holiness. So, Messiah. Amen. It's called Christ, the Son of God. Chapter 5. Let me read from, that whole chapter is loaded. It's not about begotten. But for the sake of time, let's read verse 11. And this is the record that God has given to us eternal life. And this life is in who? It's in his Son. So what is the Messiah supposed to bring to us? It's life. And the Messiah can bring it to us because he's the Son. If he's not the Son, he can't bring life to us. He can't save us. I went in the house, please. He can't bring us the real salvation. He that had the Son had life. He that has the Son has life. And he that has not the Son of God has not life. So there's no way a man can have life if he does not have the Son. These things have I written unto you, that you that believe on the name of the Son of God, you that believe on the name of these things have I written unto you, you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life is yours, and that ye may believe. You need to believe now on the revelation of the name of the Son of God. And upon this revelation, this is the confidence we have in him. That if we ask anything based on this. Based on this. If we ask anything based on sonship reality. He will always hear us. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So you can see that everything is tied to the revelation of that name. Everything is written to bring you to that place of absolute assurance and trust. So when you are reading the gospel, when you read the gospel really, and you really read the gospel without the effort of the merchandise of men. You know, a lot of us, we have eye goggle of merchandise. People have preached to us before. It is their goggle we use to read the Bible. You know what I'm saying? So, and then you are reading, you will be seeing their emphasis. In fact, you will stop now at the place when Jesus Christ turned, you know, told them, go and get the first fish you catch. Bring the coin. Bring the coin. Pay for me and for you. That is it's going to be stigma to you because it has to do with money. Amen. But all of that is written. Put together, it's written. That you may come to a place of resolute faith that Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus the Messiah is the Son of God. What does it mean? What does it mean? It's not just a prophet. It's not a prophet. It's the Son of God. Hallelujah. So if anybody wants to go into eternal life, and it does not deserve this place. Can you see? That's like holding the mystery of faith. Of the faith. Yes, you must. It must be part and parcel of your life. It must have made you. And upon that, you're going to have fight the good fight of faith. You're going to fight your life to stay and to be built on this reality. You will fight. Everything in hell will fight you, bro. Everything called hell will fight you, bro. And the very day your heart begins to strike this reality as a place of stay, you know you don't have any friends on the earth. Even your best friend can become your enemy in that moment without knowing why he's fighting you. Because it's, you are making a certain resolution by faith that you are making progress towards life. Amen. You know that 3 times God announced Jesus as the Son. You know that? Praise God. The first time God announced him was at Jordan. So for 30 years, God never addressed Jesus as his Son. For 30 years. So you know that it's not something he earned from that. If he earned it from that, he would have made everyone around him to begin to refer to him as the Son of God. He knows how to do it. He can appear to the mother in a dream and say, this one you're carrying is my son. I'm going to call him my son. I went in the house, please. They didn't know. You knew that even the mother has to believe later on. And the brothers. Because that reality was not known by them. Amen. At Jordan, and there came a voice saying, thou art my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Praise God. This is the place of the faith that overcometh. Who is it that overcometh? He that believeth that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Who is it that overcometh? Overcome. At Transfiguration again, the Father showed up and came with that express word. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. This is my beloved Son. So why would he not talk to Jesus before this time as Son? Because sonship has to do with expression. Are we in the house, please? Has to do with expression. A child can't be a son because he can't express the father. the issue of right, though it belongs to him, but doesn't have what it takes to manage it. He has not attained to stature. Am I with you? So his son is the one who has the stature and who has the authority to manage the father's estate. So the first stage of Jesus showing up to be have the competency of managing resources of the divine. Jesus can manage the resources of the supernatural. But to manage resources of divine, which is majorly in the area of words, the words of the divine, you will see that Jesus, there's no place that said he began to teach until 30. And you know that it's not that he has not been learning. I went to the house place. And I went at 12. At 12. Look at, I bought at 12. Met doctors and was rattling them. Not because he wants to make them a fool. Was asking them questions of things in the law that they were wondering. Where did I get this wisdom? So in terms of information, he was informed early. So at 12, and you know the fastest place that people like children learn is not even at 12. It's when you get to teenage years that you begin to get your sense of inquisition. You want to answer all questions. You know what I'm saying? Is that not right? Only few children are terribly inquisitive at less than that age. So at that age, it means that the later part of his life was spent much more in acquiring divine thoughts, divine will. Are we in the house, please? Yet he didn't have the authority to sit to teach. You know, the Sermon of the Mount just sat and taught. And in the Jewish culture, to sit and teach is that you're taking the place of authority. Are we in the house, please? Like Moses would sit and teach. So you don't take the seat of Moses, don't sit like that and teach. All the time, you stand up. You stand up, you open, you read, you drop it. You got to sit. Why you teach? It's authority. So, sonship, that was a son, it means that he has been authorized in a dimension to bring divine thoughts of the Father. So he could refer to God as his Father and bring the thoughts in the heart of the Father. See, I was laying down new dictates. Moses said, but I said. What my father said? I said. He mustn't do that at anything less than that. I will ask you that place. It must take the son to shift that post. Because Moses was a son of an order. So to shift the post of Moses, and have the right to shift it, he must be a son. And do you know that? So why will he say, hear ye him at transgression? Are they not going to be hearing him? They are hearing him, but they are not hearing him. And it was God who made it like that. He had the authority to teach at that point, but there's an authority to obey. You know, at a point, the disciples said to Jesus, we went to the place and preached your name, and they didn't take us. He said, that's embarrassing, Jesus. Really embarrassing. Do we go fire down to deal with those guys? They will learn their lesson. You don't treat men like that. Jesus, do we just go back there and rain fire upon them? I just laughed. So you don't do that. You don't know the man of spirit you carry. The man of spirit does not vaunt itself. Your man of spirit waits for divine authorization. It means that if the level of authority you have is to speak to 50, they won't give you 100. So you don't pull it. If men don't want to hear you, you don't fight them. When it is time for them to hear you, when you grow to where they should hear you, they will hear you. So you don't yap people. What are you here? What's wrong with your head? What's wrong? No, you don't have authority. Oh my God. As many as my father has given to me, so it is my father who gives them to me at my states. When I get there, he gives to me.
There was a time he gave to me. He gave, there looked many, but there are few he gave to me. In the midst of many, I took the few he gave to me. You know, when you study church growth, you can't know all these things. Because you want to fill the church by all means. And that's not me that we should not invite people. But we can't push them beyond mayor. There is a mayor, the mayor to you at this stage. At Transfiguration, the Jews should hear him. Because there was Elijah and Moses. It was the law and the prophet. It's time for the law and the prophet to hear him. Their children should hear him. I know from that moment, the Jews began to hear just more. Amen. Praise God. So one of the trips he made to Jerusalem, and the children were shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna. And the rulers were angry. Whoa. What is this? Because they know the meaning of Hosanna. It's Christ, Christ. It's salvation from the highest, and it will take Christ. Or Messiah to bring the salvation. Are we in the house, please? When he took the donkey and he rode upon the ass, and he rode upon the mule and the fall of an ass. When they saw that sign, they knew the trouble has come. Nobody can tame it. To tame a fall, you can't tame a whole fall. To take divine power to make that fall to walk with the ass. So the children began to shout. And they said, they were still trying to stop them. Stop them. Stop them. Stop them. I just said, look at this. Look at these guys. If you stop these ones, these are children. God will, Father, they are about to become stones. Amen. You are stopping children now. Stones are going to rise. Not just stones on the floor. Stones, stones. It is stones that will declare his praise. It's not children, it's stones that will declare his praise. So better let the children do it. For when the stone begins to do it, your end has come. Hallelujah. Jesus never, never, never tried to make men respond. No. It's never crowd conscious. It's never audience conscious. Never, 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 never. It's conscious on the mandate of the Father. And he knows what the Father was doing every moment. Every moment. And towards the end of the part, Bible says, as God has given him power over all flesh. He moved from the realm of law and the prophet to all flesh to give eternal life to us many. Let them be billions. You will give eternal life to us many. They will span generations. You will give eternal life to us many. Thou hast given him authority. The authority is about, you know, before that place there, see, verse 3. This was spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy son. I have been a son at a level that thy son may glorify thee. That thy son may be the begotten son. He has to become the begotten son. Oh my God. As thou hast given power over our flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they may know the truth, the only true God. And Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. See the next verse, verse 4. And he answered, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work. The work. You gave me a work. You gave me a work. I have finished it. Without the work being finished, it's impossible for him to be asking for this glory. I have finished this work. I have finished it for this new glory. This glory is what authorizes me. And now, O Father, verse 5, glorify thou me with what? Thy own self. With the glory which I had with thee before the world. Was. I didn't come down here with that glory. You waking me work to move from being a child to being a son at Jordan. I didn't stop there. To being a son at Transgression, I didn't stop there. I have moved into the end of glory. Now wear me the glory with thy own self. Let me be the begotten son of God. which Paul describes in Hebrew, who is the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sin, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Amen. So when you hear the begotten Son of God is telling you about the Son of God, the Messiah. The begotten Son of God who purged our sin. Can you see that? While Jesus was talking in John 17, he had not lived yet. In John 13, it says something like that. 13:1, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil has now put, I've read this many times, now put in the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. See the next thing. Jesus knowing that the Father has given all things into his hand, knowing that. So, he came to discover that he has moved to the place where the Father has put all things. Yet he has not died. But he has complete obedience. Because he has already died. Though he has not died on the cross straight. But he has become one with the dead. Became one with the dead. It's conformable. You know, Jesus has been dying. Don't you know that? Before he died on the cross, he has been dying. When he came on the earth, he died. For death is not shedding blood. Death is to lose your life. He lost his life. He descended. And all through the earth, he died. He has been dying. You know, for you and I, you're going to die to a point that your death will be conformable unto his death. Though you won't go to the cross he went to, but your death procedure, what you will become by that death, will be exactly the same thing with the one who died on the cross. That was what Paul was praying for in Philippians 3. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. See, sufferings. In the sufferings, it's being, it produces a being. It gets to a state. The man that has gone through that suffering is as the one who has died. Because what death is to do is to build a man. Death is not to destroy a man. Death is to destroy a man and to imagine a man. When you say you lay down your life, something will pass out of you and a new man will imagine you. That's what Paul said. Life I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave his life for me. When he gave his life for me, he got another life. I went in the house place. And when he gave his life for me, I will lay down my life and get another life. Is that not true? So the process of death or suffering being made, so it produces a being that when you see what that has done in him, it's like what happened to Jesus when he died on the cross. Being made conformable unto his death. Amen. So Jesus Christ, before the cross, is being in the process of suffering as complete as a slab of a bed. I'll give you an example. It will help you. Amen. Praise God. You go through a program. Okay, maybe your BSc. You have a BSc or BA do mathematics. That's a degree, is that not right? That degree is the fact that you have gone through a course and you are qualified to be awarded that degree. But if you want to teach in Ghana, they may need you to do another exam, not that it's higher than the one you did in Nigeria, but to prove that the one you did in Nigeria is standard. So that they can teach in their place. You get it now? So they will drop you another exam that is of the same standard and same curriculum, but that they now supervise by themselves to ascertain that what went through in Nigeria is standard. That's why somebody who is brilliant, who has done well in school here, gets abroad, like maybe UK or US, maybe medical school, and he has done very well, he has been tutored very well, he has been given his degree, he gets there, he sits for the exam, he just passed the exams. Because they're not trying to make you fail. They're just to make you ascertain. I will not. Jesus Christ has went to God. And he has fulfilled the curriculum of his commission. I will in the house, please. So he has gone through sufferings. So he knew that he had finished his course. But they had ordained that he must begat children. And so they ordained the cross of Calvary as a terminal point for him to be taken, where he must shed away all that belongs to the Jewish nation, so he can be the Christ, the Son of God. You know what I'm saying now? So he has finished his course. That's why he was talking like that. He was praying a priestly prayer in chapter 17 of John. So he knew it. And the Bible said, I have glorified him. I will yet glorify him again. Because you have given him power over all flesh, that he may give eternal life to as many as thou hast given to him. If you watch Jesus teaching towards the end of his life, he was teaching raw eternal life. I don't want to ask you here. Do you get that? I'm serious with you. Okay, are you getting it from the scripture I'm reading? Is it telling? Okay, because it's important to reflect back on that. So Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was taken by God at the resurrection. But remember, but Jesus said at Lazarus' tomb, I am the life and the resurrection. Not I will be the life and the resurrection. Jesus can't say that at Jordan. He can't say that. That was some of the end of the miracles he did, which was only a miracle, was a sign. That one was not just supernatural miracle, it was a sign of his person. Are we in the house together? Okay, I made a statement. I said Jesus was taken after resurrection. Do you understand that? Read Romans chapter 1. So that, the audience can get me clear, okay? Romans 1. Paul is servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated under the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his holy prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed. Can we see that? Which was what? Made. Someone say made. He was not born. He was made. Jesus Christ, which was made. Lord, grant us hearing. Amen. Which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. And declared. So it was David's lineage produced the body. But in that body, they raised the Son, declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Resurrection from the dead. So they demonstrated that sonship by raising Jesus from the dead. We will see that later, that he talks later about the resurrection of the dead. But they resurrected Jesus from the dead to declare him Son of God. The Son of God's fullness by the resurrection from the dead. From the dead. From the dead. So it was the first born from the dead. Death has never given up anyone. He's the first one that death gave up. The power of death and hell was broken for the first time to open his mouth to vomit God's Son from the dead. Was declared. When he said declaration, it means announce. Announce. The election has finished. They have known the score. Amen. But was announced to be the Son of God with power. According to the spirit of separation. Separated him from the realm of man to the realm of God. I went in the house, please. Made it impossible for him to return back to be a mere man. Praise the name of the Lord. By the resurrection from the dead. Now all of these things, we're going to find mercy of the Lord to tear them. Because this is the gospel. When you say faith, our faith, this is our faith.
So you see that Son of God is also called the Lord. You know, Acts account says, you take Jesus, the same Jesus, whom you crucified, as God made both Lord and Christ. It didn't say Christ and Son of God. Lord and Christ. So Lord is also Son of God. Because here, O Israel, the Lord thy God, the Lord is one. So there's one God. So thou hast made him the Son of God. You have made him God. The Son of God is God. The only difference is that he's representing flesh. Oh man, are we in the house, please? There's only one God. There are no gods. There's only one God. It's the Lord. The Lord thy God. So when the Father committed all judgment to him, what is he committing? He committed lordship to him. So he became the Lord. The Lord. He was not born the Lord. God made him. God made him Lord and Messiah. If he's not Lord, he can't be Messiah. For when he's Lord, he's Lord over all. So death, hell, sin, grave must give way to their Lord. Are we in the house, please? He could rest. He could rest. He could break the power and the hold of hell and let captivity captive. He took man to himself. He didn't appeal for it. He took man. By right, he took man because he's Lord. And we're in the house together, please. This Jesus that you see. Amen. God made him both Lord and he made him Christ. Let me read to you from Acts 9 quickly. Let's see first conversion there. Now Acts 9. Let me read from verse 3. Quickly. 3. As he joined, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why? It was Nemical. Saul, 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 Saul. Why persecutest thou me? And he said, what oh, what? He didn't tell him I'm Lord. It's the voice of the majesty. It came with the voice of his majesty. He quaked both law and prophet in Saul. He quaked law and prophet. And I'm Jesus. Lord Jesus. I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard. It's hard for thee to kick against the priest. Move quickly to verse 13 to start with. 13. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he has done to thy saints at Jerusalem. Lord. But the Lord said unto him, the Lord, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. Verse 20, quickly. And Ananias went his way, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogue, that he is the Son of God. He didn't preach as Lord. What a best Lord. So the Son of God is Lord. So the Son of God is not a small God. No, no. The word son is not something small. Like we know in our place, it's my son. Are we in the house, please? Amen. Son of God. At this point of sonship, he is Lord. A daughter is not Lord. So, faith, Mr. Faith, is sitting on the reality that Jesus, the Messiah, is the Lord. He is God. That's the middle of it. He's the Son of God. Tell them there that sonship is not junior God. No. It's the expression of God. Sonship is used in the Jewish culture as expression. So when you have a chance tomorrow to edit the Bible,
Yoruba Bible. Tell them it's not Omo Olorun, it's Ifarahan Olorun. Jesus is not Omo Olorun. What did I say? Otumeso, Erumba. Ah, religion da. Otumeso. Who is he? Ifarahan Olorun. Olorun Farahan. The invisible God be made visible. God, I don't know, tomorrow may be a chance, the place there to describe it, to write it. Write it, it's Ifarahan. Omo Olorun Farahan. So what they went everywhere preaching is that this Jesus is the Son of God. That's what they went everywhere preaching. So they preach and teach sons, the Son of God. That God has raised His Son. We're going to see it. That God raised His Son on the earth. He raised His Son from the earth. He raised His Son for 33 years. He raised His Son. Before He demonstrated resurrection by death and resurrection of 3 days. If He was not raised, He can't be offered. He can't be offered. He died because He's the Son of God. He can't purge our sins. If that blood is not the blood of the Son of God, He can't purge our sins. By one offering, not two offerings. That man that died on the cross, he is the Son of God. He has fulfilled all the requirements for sonship. God used 3 days to declare him, to celebrate him, to show him to all principalities and power. To show them what He has been building on the earth. What He has been building in the midst of a nation called Israel. In the midst of their trouble. In the midst of their crisis. In the midst of their oppression. God was raising His Son. You know what I said? Destroy this temple. In 3 days I will raise it up. He knew that it was a temple built by God.
Behold, you see. This Jesus is Jesus that you see. He's a man, Son of God, He's the Lamb. Great I am that I am. Alive is the man. Great I am that I am.
Let's worship the man.
Believe you've heard the voice of the Lord by virtue of the words that has come unto you. Why don't you make it a date with us in any of our meetings? You can join us on Wednesdays for special teaching with Reverend Busuyi or Labadi by 5 p.m. and Sundays by 8 a.m. at Eternal Life Embassy, 175 Adeyemi College Road beside Mercyland Hospital, Ondo. For more information, please call 0806-509-8130. Or 0703-395-8818. Or visit our website www.fmli.org. Remain blessed.